Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, another episode of Sports Card Live. We take a magnifying glass to the sports card industry. News, reviews, thoughts, the occasional tangents, and free stuff. Hosted by Dan Rage, Ryan, and Doug Fresh. Boom!
Pack Rippers and Sports Nuts, welcome to another edition of Sports Card Live. It's the 2014 National Sports Card Collectors Convention Preview Show. We're going to go over all the news that have came out from these manufacturers of what's going down at the National, kind of give you guys some strategies on, you know, what to expect, you know, how you can get some of the free stuff, and, you know, what our take is on some of participating in this kind of the giveaways that these manufacturers are doing. We're also going to review Spectra, which has been pretty hot, so Panini Spectra Basketball. And we're also going to talk a little bit of NFL licensing. There's some crazy rumors floating around about the NFL license going to one company. So we're going to Ryan's been kind of investigative reporting on that one, and he's going to take the lead on that one. Ryan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Well, in terms of cards, I've been better in light of some of the exclusive rumors. But in life, I'm doing pretty good. Going to Cleveland nice. Next week, so, you know, pretty good.
Sweet. Yeah. What do you fly in Wednesday?
I'm going to fly in really late Tuesday night.
Sweet.
From San Francisco, and it's going to be a long trip with connections to Cleveland. And I booked my hotel room today, $40. So, you know, can't go wrong with that. And go from there.
Nice. Yeah, you know what? I don't think there's a straight, because we had to take connecting flights too. I don't think there's a straight shot from California to Cleveland, unfortunately.
No, unless you maybe if you want to pay $700. But I'll take the long, and you lose time going out there. You lose 3 hours, so it's a weird trip.
Right. So, well, we'll get right into talking about some National. It's going down July 30th to August 3rd at the International Exposition Center in Cleveland, Ohio, which the city's obviously abuzz with the LeBron, Johnny Manziel, you know, there's going to be some excitable locals around there. And you know what really kind of impacts me the most when I went there for the first time last year was just kind of realizing, you know, there's a lot of doom and gloom in this hobby as things happen and changes happen. But, you know, when you see that many collectors, you really know, you're like, wow, this hobby's thriving. There's a lot of money that's going to be spent. There's a lot of people that are going to fill base sets, going to build their PCs while they're there. So it kind of puts it in perspective. Wow, there's a lot of collectors out there. And, you know, it's an exciting time to meet, to trade, to buy, to do any of these events. I mean, the manufacturers just kind of step it up every year. They add more things. They kind of outdo themselves. They do bigger and better. And really, that only benefits the collector at the end of the day, too. So a lot of things going down. I wanted to get your thought on if you were a new person going to the National, Ryan, what are your strategies and what should somebody from the that's new, you know, come to expect for the National?
Well, if you're new, it would really depend on what type of stuff you like. If it's the unopened boxes, you're going to have no problem finding Blowout Cards, GA Car World, Atlanta, Marty's, Steel City, and there might be one or two other people selling boxes. They're going to be all next to each other. You can just walk around and shop prices, and that'll be really easy. Really good prices on wax and all that stuff. If you're into the vintage stuff, you're going to go table to table because there's going to be a lot of vintage stuff, a lot of vintage graded, vintage ungraded. There's, you know, tables with big 25-cent boxes or 50-cent boxes or dollar boxes, and you can sit there all day and go through cards. It also depends how long you're staying. If you're staying the whole time, you can really wait because the prices, even on the boxes, they get a little better as you creep into Sunday, and especially if you're there on Sunday.
Right.
You can almost just window shop for 2 days and maybe pick up a thing here or there, and then on Sunday you can go in for the kill and offer people And I always make offer, especially on single cards. I got a Hank Aaron autograph, PSA DNA authenticated for $40. Joe Montana, same thing, $40. And they might have had them priced at $50, $60, but you're there, you're with the cash. Always make an offer on single cards. Worst that could happen is you get turned down, and you move, and you might see that card again at another table. And there's a lot of things you could do if you're after some of the wrapper redemptions. It doesn't look like Topps is really as good this year. The last couple years, they gave away a Bowman Platinum set that was serial numbered. You open a Bowman Platinum box, and maybe they haven't announced that yet, but we're getting close to the cutoff point here. They're only giving away, it looks like, a Tanaka and a Abreu Ginter if you open up a whole box of Ginter. So I don't really think the line's going to be that bad at the top booth for that, because there's really no incentive. Whereas last year you got like 30 cards, they were all serial numbered, and you could sell each card for a couple bucks each easy, and the whole set maybe for quite a bit. So there was really a lot of incentive to go buy a Bowman Platinum box for $100 and stand in line and get one of these sets. Whereas this year, maybe not so much. Panini, they always do the silver packs. You've got to judge. Usually there's a lot of value in that. And we'll talk a little bit later about the VIP party. It might be profitable to go to the VIP party. You might be able to come out ahead if you go to the VIP party. You definitely might be able to come out ahead if you go after some of these wrapper redemption, the silver wrapper redemption packs, and you buy, maybe you don't want to buy $7,500 worth of stuff, but you buy a couple boxes and you hit some things out of those silver packs. And I've seen a kid last year pull a Kobe Bryant, serial number to 5. That card's got to be worth $150, $200 probably, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. So there's definitely value there. There's a lot to see. You can get through it all in a day or two. If you're there going for the autograph, it's my understanding that they have the in-person autographs that people, you know, sign in autographs at the TriStar Pavilion. They handle the line pretty well, from my understanding. And they actually give you a time to come wait in line. It's not that everybody who's getting Cal Ripken autographs goes stand in line all at once, and you've got to wait and wait and wait and wait. They actually space it out. They know how many tickets they sold. They know how much time Cal Ripken's going to take to sign each autograph. And they're able to go through it. And I don't think it's really a time killer. You're able to get 3 or 4 different guys' autographs if you want. And it could be real beneficial to you if you see somebody on the autograph list. You can go to the National's website. Actually, it's on the TriStar website. Either the National website or the TriStar website, they're going to have a list of all the prices, all the inscriptions you can get, all the people that, when are they signing. And they probably explain the line. How I've gotten a lot of questions about the lines and stuff. And personally, I've never gotten an autograph there. It's just not something that I'm into. But that's the great thing about the National, is you can be into anything practically, and you're going to enjoy yourself for a day or two or the whole time. So it's really worth it if you can get to Cleveland this year. Next year it's going to be in Chicago. The year after it will be in Atlantic City. So it's really worth it if you're into cards. It doesn't matter what you're collecting. It's really worth it. It's a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to going out there.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even know that they do that with the lines. I mean, that's a great idea because, yeah, that's what I pictured. I'm not really an in-person autograph person either, so I've never really stood in the lines. But I expected, you know, some of the bigger signers, you're just standing there all day. But that is awesome that they actually they learned that, hey, this is probably taking the money away from dealers by these guys just, you know, sitting in these lines. If they just come back at a certain hour window, they can go spend their money elsewhere. So that's a great idea that they've, you know, obviously been doing this thing for a long time, and they've learned how to, you know, maximize it. So that's awesome.
Right, yeah.
And there is a lot of great, great signers. I'm looking over the list. I mean, Dennis Rodman, Willie Rowe, Bruce Smith, Joe Theismann, Paul Warfield, Dan's boy, Jack Youngblood, Al Bubba Baker, Wade Boggs. I mean, it's a pretty big autograph signer thing. And I know there's a big collectability market of people that have jerseys. They bring them down to these shows, and they get them signed, and they get them mounted and put in their man cave, on their wall, stuff in their bar, things like that. So that's a whole other side of this hobby that there's a big collector base for that. So, yeah, and there's some free signers, like Trevor said. I think Dale Murphy signing for free, Carlos Baeza signing for free with a certain level of ticket package. I think for the regular VIP, you get the Dale Murphy and Carlos Baeza So that's all through the NSCCshow.com. You can find out ticket level pricing and show details and stuff where it's at. So if you're still on the fence and you want to read about these autograph signers, I would definitely recommend going to NSCCshow.com and finding out who's signing and the different promotions. And we'll go over the stuff in the show as well. Dan's on the air. What's going on, man?
What is going on, guys?
What's up, dude?
Are you ready for Cleveland, or have you mentally prepared yourself for the National this year?
Is Cleveland ready for us?
that's a better question. Right there. what did you take out of being the first year there last year in Chicago, Dan? What was your going into it and then coming out of it, what did you see and what did you, learn, I guess?
It was cool. This year I'm going to focus on walking around and really checking out some stuff. It seems like last year we had a pretty extensive itinerary, so we were kind of running around a lot of time on the show floor, so we didn't have a lot of time to sit there and just, talk to dealers and check out some vintage cards. Some of the memorabilia that's there is insane. And I know I talked about it before, like Jim Palmer, like Cy Young Award win, like Cy Young Awards, and like just some of that stuff, like some crazy Mickey Mantle like memorabilia. That stuff is like, you don't see that at just your average card show. So some of the memorabilia you see, like the historic memorabilia, is really cool to look at. It's definitely out of my price range. Some of that stuff gets kind of crazy. I think it's going to be a pretty chill, at least for us, for Mojo Break, it's going to be relatively chill. I'm going to be able to really walk around and check out some stuff I didn't get to see last year.
Yeah. There's actually a company called Heritage Auctions that's already running some auctions in current with Cleveland, and they've got some amazing stuff. They have a 1927 New York Yankees team signed baseball, obviously with Ruth. Ruth's on the sweet spot, so there's going to be some amazing stuff on display there that's just crazy. 1919 Chicago Black Sox archive publication from World Series Game 5. I mean, just talk about stuff that you just don't see. And that's one thing you will never see at any local card show in your area, that you may see some of this stuff, but not in this mass. I mean, you're just going to see incredible stuff. So, and, I was thinking, I mean, there's not to promote lowballing people, but, you could, definitely, if you buy in bulk, kind of do with like the whole Leaf route, buy in bulk on some of these, these dealers, buy some single cards, like say you buy some Trout and some Harper stuff that you know is going to sell, buy a big bulk lot, you could probably turn around and make a profit on some of it and maybe pay for your trip. There's a lot of deals to be had that a guy would be willing to part with 10 cards at $1,500 instead of parting for, with the one Bryce Harper for $400. You may be able to bring the price down on the Bryce Harper. So if you have some cash to flip some cards, and I know there's people that already do that, there's definitely some opportunities to maybe make a little bit of money and pay for your trip and, get some extra PC cards there.
I got some, like, 80s, 80s tops rookie cards last year for, like, $1. A little Bo Jackson rookie.
I remember you and
– rookie.
Yeah, you and Ryan came up to me all excited about it. You guys were just, kids in a candy store.
I was like, dude, the score of the show, I'm like, they should write an article on me. I'm like, that's it.
Yeah. Hey, at the Upper Deck, we got the 1989 Upper Deck packs, too. I remember opening those. We got those for like $3.
That's the stuff I love, though, because that kind of brings back, when I collected as a kid.
Yeah.
That'd be stuff that I'd get really excited about. And I was pretty excited about opening up those 89 Upper Deck packs because that brought back a lot of memories. So, there's definitely some nostalgia for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if there's anything that you've been looking for years, I'm actually started a PC collection myself. I'm going to try to collect all the silver framed autographs from 2013 Museum Football. And I'm kind of bummed that I'm obviously not going to the National this year because I probably could have made that whole set while I was there at a good price. So, yeah, I mean, there's like 30 guys on the checklist. I'm going to slowly, collect that set. So.
Wait.
But maybe I'll have you look around for me for some deals on some of that stuff.
I'm only buying 80s and 90s vintage, dude. I'm not looking for modern cards, dude. I'm not wasting my time.
You should just walk around wearing like vintage T-shirts too, like Alf and like Full House.
I'm looking for like 1990 Fleer Flair Wave of the Future insert, Cliff Floyd, Mike Piazza. Looking for those guys. That's it.
Check the quarter bin.
You know, it'd be a pretty fun game that maybe I'm kind of thinking out loud here, but maybe like a treasure hunt. A scavenger hunt. Maybe we can make release like 10 cards, like some crazy, just weird, you know, affordable, like something you'd find in the dollar bin, right? Like a 10 card set that if the first person to post all the pictures gets like something, that'd be kind of cool.
We could do it on Twitter. That would actually be – that's a good idea.
Yeah. Maybe like a free case break spot or, you know, something – maybe something even better than that because it's going to take a lot of time probably. So first person to take a picture from the National, you know, then you might get people photoshopping and stuff though. So, I mean, maybe they would need to come up to you and show you the cards. That would be the way to do it. I like that. Maybe we'll do that. That's a good idea. A little scavenger hunt.
We need to find something that's actually there. I need to go there and show you a card or a couple cards and be like, these are the cards that people need to look for. And then you give them hints.
No, dude, just do stuff from the 80s. It's all going to be there.
How do you know?
Dude, it's there.
You're gonna chase everybody on a wild goose chase, and then come to find out that card doesn't even exist. You get some Twitter hate right there, dude.
No, if you do anything 1980s, I guarantee you it's gonna be there. I guarantee you. You do like a 1986 or 1990 Barry Bonds from Topps or something. You know what I mean? It's gonna be there.
I guarantee it. I don't think so.
I think so, man. I've heard people say that.
Everything from that era is like super short printed, and like it's very very difficult. It's very difficult to find those cards. It's like a needle in a haystack, man. I don't know. It's just not fair.
They only made 5 million of each base card. I mean, it's gonna be tough.
That's not a lot, dude. 5 million is not a lot.
It's tough. What are
the chances of one being there?
Dude, I bet you we can make a list and one guy will find it in one booth. There might be one guy that has like millions of dollar bins and we'd pick all this 80s and 90s base cards and they'd probably find it in 10 minutes. They'd come find you right away and be like, well, I won the contest. So.
I don't know.
So we'll try. Hey, if it's not there, at least they had fun trying, right? Or maybe we'll.
Yeah,
how about this? This is and maybe I shouldn't be talking out loud so we can steal our ideas. We'll make a list of 20 cards, and they got to find 10. First person to find 10.
Okay. Well, so basically, like, so get ready for this. This is your idea. So when you get hated on Twitter, it's going to be your idea. Because they're going to be like, I did this whole scavenger hunt, couldn't find anything, ruined my whole trip. Doug, it's your fault.
Well, see, I'm not going to be there, so I'll tell them where to find you. They can
I know,
tell you.
Exactly. I'm going to have to sit there and be like, sorry. I'm like, we'll do a Twitter giveaway for you.
I'll send you an auto or something. We'll, maybe Shane can buy him a drink or something. Who knows? But, all right, so I wanted to go over each company, this has obviously been out there, but I wanted to, go over what Panini Tops and Leaf are doing and kind of give you our take on it. So Panini is doing the VIP and wrapper redemption, VIP set and wrapper redemption, which is going to have It's a 6-card exclusive set for the VIPs at the Nationals. So that's not the VIP party. That's if you're a VIP, you know, your registration for the whole Nationals. So you'll get a bag with this set in there. It's going to have Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, Masahiro Tanaka, Jose Abreu, Andrew Wiggins, Dante Exum. So it's going to be kind of a short print kind of thing. And then they also will be doing their silver packs with purchase of certain products, which they announced LeBron James game-used jersey in a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform. So they obviously held some Cleveland, you know, LeBron James jerseys. They're cutting them up, putting in these cards. Those are going to be pretty highly collectible because those are going to be one of the first cards back out now of, you know, LeBron James in a Cleveland Cavs uni. So there's going to, especially being in Cleveland, those are going to be hot. So people are going to be chasing those. The kind of the breakdown is, so these are the products that you can get from either like Blowout, DA Card World. These are participating dealers, and these are how many packs you're going to get. So with, and this is the silver packs. 2013 Crown Royale football gets you 4 packs. 2013 Spectra football gets you 10 packs. 2013 Black football gets you 8 packs. 2014 Hot Rookies gets you 5 packs. Crusade basketball gets you 4 packs. Intrigue basketball gets you 10 packs, which I'm saying that's probably going to be the best deal on the list because I think Intrigue was a good product. So that's a really good value at 10 packs for a hobby box of Intrigue. So those may go fast. Signatures basketball, 8 packs. Innovation basketball, and these are all 13-14 products, 6 packs. Select basketball, 8 packs. Preferred basketball, 8 packs. Spectra basketball, 10 packs. But I don't really think there's going to be any Spectra there. If there is, it's going to be gone right away. So just saying, don't expect to get Spectra there because it's scorching. And we'll review that later in the show. Titanium Hockey, 6 packs. Rookie Anthology, 5 packs. Totally Certified Hockey, 4 packs. Playbook Hockey, 4 packs. Crown Royale Hockey, 5 packs. Select Hockey, 8 packs. Golden Age Baseball, 4 packs. America's Pastime Baseball, 10 packs. And Prism Perennial Draft Picks Baseball, 4 packs. So, looking at that list, like I said, the first one that jumps out at me is Intrigue, which you can probably, I'm assuming, I don't know what the dealers are going to charge, but I'm assuming it's going to be the in the 140 to 150 price point or lower. So I think for getting 10 packs, that's a pretty good value. You can hit, you know, big rookies and big cards out of Intrigue and then get 10 packs and hit some short printed stuff. Was there anything on that list that jumped out at you, Dan?
There was no Court Kings, right?
No Court Kings, no.
I'll be right back.
After this commercial break. So I think, you know, you could buy a case of Intrigue. I mean, you know, if you're balling, you're spending money, you go there, you want to get these packs. You know, they're going to have some cool autographs in there. They're going to have that LeBron James. They always have those one-of-ones. They're going to be probably similar, in my opinion, to the Father's Day, which the Father's Day packs are pretty loaded. So I think Panini's going to try to make a splash, and these packs are going to be pretty good. So I think you might get some good value out of this stuff. And, you know, if you work your way up to $7,500, you will get into the Panini VIP party, which will get you around 400 packs. Of the silver packs. And then I don't know how many gold packs they're giving, but last year it was 50. So we got 50 gold packs.
Wow.
And that's actually in the VIP event. So, and those all had cards that were numbered to 5. I mean, we pulled a Kyrie Irving auto 101. We pulled a redemption for a Manti Te'o signed hat. We pulled, they have actually live memorabilia on at the party that if you pull a redemption, you just go get it. It's there. So they had, I think the biggest one was like a helmet of Peyton Manning, a full-size helmet they had there. So there's all kinds of signed hats and one-of-ones and stuff like that you can redeem. And you normally get a black box. So you get a black box one-of-one, which, you know, you could probably sell that on $300-$400 on eBay. And then there's also autograph signers. Last year they had Yasiel Puig, Johnny Damon, Pedro Martinez, Dan Hampton, Chris Chelios. So, and there's probably a few I'm forgetting. Isaiah Thomas from the Kings was there. Another basketball rookie was there as well.
Thomas Robinson was there.
Oh, and Jared Sullinger was there as well. So I only see them, like, getting bigger with the autograph signers this year. So I'm thinking, you know, obviously they're not going to get LeBron James, but I'm thinking Kyrie's going to be there. Wiggins will probably be there because they signed him to their deal. I'm thinking of Cleveland. Maybe they even get Manziel somehow. I wouldn't be shocked. If Manziel's there signing exclusive autographs, I mean, he's going to be in Cleveland. So, you know, they throw a little cash Johnny's way, a little rolled-up dollar bill, throw it his way. A couple rolled up hundreds, and he's there. He's signing autographs for you. So, and you get free food at the party. They had last year. They had a sushi bar. I mean, it was free pizza, lasagna, any kind of food. They had it there. Full open bar. And you're just walking around with you know, these guys. Yasiel Puig was just hanging out dancing with the girls. I mean, they hire these hot girls there as well that just dance around. So it's really. I mean, Panini knows how to throw a party. I know some people compare Panini to like a frat kind of thing. It's like that. It's really they know how to throw a party, and every year it's gotten bigger and better. So they're only going to outdo themselves this year. So I mean, you fast forward to 2025. I mean, they're going to start giving out cars. There's going to have girls doing things for you. I mean, I don't know what to expect. They're just going to keep outdoing themselves every year. So it's definitely something. If you can afford it, you may be able to flip some of the cards. You may be able to flip some of the cards and get into the event for free if you do well on some of the boxes. I mean, if you have the money and you're thinking about how can I throw my money around at the National, might be a way to do it.
Yeah, it really might be.
You know, they load this stuff up, and you know they're not going to National Treasures got pushed back. So I think they're going to overcompensate for that, too. So I think they're going to get better prizes, more stuff that's going to be there, more freebies. So, I mean, what do you think? Would you think that there's a possibility of profiting here with the all the stuff they're giving away?
If I had the money, like if $7,500 wasn't like anything to me, like I would just wake up out of bed and just, you know, blink. $7,500. I would go try to figure out the optimal strategy, how I got the most silver packs, how I got the most bang for my 75. Well, first thing I would do is I would just go get a wholesale license and just do 10K.
Yeah.
Go through the wholesale. But let's just say I went to the show and I would figure out the optimal way. I would get all my boxes. I think you have to open them at the show or at least break the seal at the show. I get everything. I go to the VIP. I get all this stuff. I'd probably just open the black box and just gamble. But then I would probably try to sell everything.
Yeah.
And calculate all my fees, some of the time it took me, how much it cost me, all this stuff. And I honestly think doing bad would break even. Now, you're breaking even on the $7,500. You're not breaking even on your flight, on your hotel, on your food, on your all this other stuff. But I think you could break even on that $7,500 because you're getting 300 to 400 silver packs, and you're getting potentially up to 50 gold packs and a black box. And you're getting an autograph of whoever there that you could sell. Even if it's an 8x10 of Andrew Wiggins, that's got to be $40-$50 right now, maybe more.
Right.
So, if you had the money, why not?
Well, and plus, you know, you could also, if you did it the first day, you could walk around and just try to sell the cards there.
Right, yeah, and get your money back that way, no fees.
Or, you know, buddy up with somebody, if you know somebody that's got a booth, say, hey, can I put some of these cards in your booth, you know, and let's, you know.
Right. Well, what if you grade them? What if you get some really nice cards and grade them right away, boom, on the spot, and you get them back, and they're 9.5, you know?
Right.
Suddenly you just elevated your cards even more, and then you just pop them right on eBay.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have a good eBay account, you know, and all that stuff, and have at least some feedback. I think it's doable. I thought about it 3 or 4 weeks ago when I heard about the 10,000 for dealers. I was like, that's a no-brainer. If you're a dealer or a group breaker or anything, you know, so single, that's a no-brainer. And you're going to the show, and you have the money. I mean, you have to do that. It's actually the smart thing to do because you're getting all this other incentivized stuff. Granted, they jacked the prices of the boxes up on you, but if you can recoup some of your money there and recoup all the rest of your money on the silver and the gold tax, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, and Trevor in the chat says you'll probably lose $1,500 of the 7K. I'd say yes, probably 9 out of 10 times, but maybe you get lucky and you don't. But, you know, $1,500, you know, because I will tell you, this party is absolutely epic. You know, it's pretty crazy. They go above and beyond. I mean, just to be able to – some people may find $1,500 loss is worth to be able to brush elbows with Johnny Manziel, Kyrie Irving, you know, Victor Oladipo, whoever they decide to bring this year, because they don't let you know until, like, 2 days before. But you know it's going to be big.
Right.
And last year they had DJ Cool spin in, you know. I mean, they had Biz Markie the year before, so I'm sure they're going to have a DJ like that. So, you know, some people may – yeah.
The $1,500 loss is if you open the product, whereas
right. You
guys got to sell the product in a group break, right?
Yes.
So, you know, you probably did, I'm assuming you didn't lose $1,500 on the $10,000.
No.
So you probably made some money. You actually made money, and now you're going to go get to do all this other stuff. So for dealers, I could see from a collector, yeah, you're going to spend $7,500 as a collector, and you're going to have to open this stuff. Yeah, you're going to take a bath. So you are going to have to get lucky on the silver and the gold packs and potentially getting the Manziel 8x10 or Wiggins or whoever else to get you closer to even. So, for dealers, I think it's a no-brainer for dealers because you're able to sell this stuff as you normally would, and you're getting all this other stuff that you could either do a promotion, a giveaway, open for yourself, however you want to do it.
Right.
But if you're doing the group break thing, and supposedly there's 80 group break, I mean, you would know better than I do. Are there really 80 different group breakers?
Yeah, it's funny. It's seeming like this is a tall, you know, one of those tall tales, you know, when you're like, you're telling somebody that, oh, yeah, I saw this guy, he was 6'5", and then your friend tells another friend, that guy was 7'1", and then, you know, then by the time it gets back to somebody else, it's like, you know, the guy was freaking 8'5" or something. But, you know, I've heard it from anywhere, I heard it originally was like 25, then I heard 34, yeah, now I'm hearing 80, and no, I didn't know there was that many group breakers out there, so... I think then, and that's actually a perfect segue to the Case Break Pavilion. I know that they're still taking registrations, and basically you can rent it out for an hour if you want to break a box. Hey, you know, that might even be an avenue. You're going to have some competition, but if you're just you have some money to spend, maybe you go up there with a laptop, go on and break the boxes you just bought from Blowout or something and do a group break. That, you know, that might be a little bit more unfeasible than just, you know, breaking and selling it. But, you know, that's an option too. They're still letting people go up there and pay hourly or daily and stuff like that. And apparently it's all hardwired in. You know, we'll have to see how it goes down. So, you know.
What I'm worried about is it's maybe not necessarily internet, but what about Breakers TV?
Yeah.
Every single guy there is trying to stream all at once. You know, is that site going to fail or not?
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. So now you're relying on not only the Nationals internet working, but you're also relying on the streaming site working as well with all this traffic coming into it. So it'll be...
Yeah, that's an interesting thing too. And you know, it's probably a trial and error for them because this is the first time it's ever been done. So, but I keep looking because I want to see who's breaking there. And I may, you know, I know a lot of these guys. Maybe I'll want to buy into one of their breaks. I kind of expected at some point, you know, to have some kind of list of, you know, which guys are breaking, how do I get in their breaks, stuff
right.
like that. I'm still not seeing that. So, you know, that's, you know, maybe they're just leaving it up to the breakers to promote their own breaks there. I'm not sure, but you know, maybe if somebody heard about this Case Break event, they want to know what this thing is, and they're planning on being in there on Friday and Saturday only, and they want to find a schedule for Friday and Saturday, who's breaking what, you know. So that's kind of, you know, what I thought would eventually come into play is the schedule's broken out. This guy's doing this. This guy's doing that. This guy's doing this. He's going live from this time. You know, your favorite Brox breaker is going to be here on, you know, stuff like that. I don't see that yet. So maybe that's still coming.
Yeah, I tried to get a list a week ago, or 2 weeks ago maybe, and there really isn't a list. So I think it's every man for himself, and there's not going to be difficult for people who are at the show who don't know anything about this really.
Right.
To walk up to a table while the guy's, you know, chatting with the people in his Breakers TV room. It's actually going to be kind of comical, and I plan to actually document it actually in some kind of way, probably through video, where I'll probably kind of just walk around and kind of show that, I don't know. I don't really think it's a good idea. I don't think it's the best idea. I think it's going to be loud in there.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be some kind of main stage, which I'm assuming there's some kind of microphone.
Yeah, it's an Amazon.com main stage.
Right, and how many group breaks have you seen sold on Amazon lately?
Right.
So, you know, this isn't incredibly well organized. I think the reason why you're hearing a little bit about it, like they're promoting it on Twitter, is because they haven't sold all the spots yet, because they're
right.
Still literally trying to sell out the last couple spots. And I talked to the guy. Or no, I sent him like a couple emails. He emailed me. I asked specifically how many breakers, or better yet, can you just send me a list of all the breakers that are coming?
Right.
And he said there are going to be 50 to 80 different breakers there. And he didn't have a list. At that point, I called him, and I was like, 50 to 80? I was like, that's a... I could probably maybe come up with 20.
Right.
So I don't know if it's like, you know, you guys are bringing like 3 people, so it doesn't count, you know. And is Mojo bringing 3 people, so that counts as 3, you know what I mean? So
we're not breaking from the booth, though, so.
He was also counting people who are doing some stuff at the Panini and supposedly Jobs is doing stuff.
Gotcha.
GCF, gotcha. I guess, Beckett as well. So there's going to be some breakers who are going to do some stuff that don't have a pavilion. But I think it's a smart thing to do, honestly, because it's I don't think maybe a couple guys will get their money's worth out of this, but just from the outside looking in, you're better off doing it at the hotel or staying home.
Right. It's a high cost. I mean, we did it at the summit. Obviously, there's really no customers at the summit, but we shelled out $4,500 for a booth to be able to break at the summit, because we thought, hey, this was 2 years ago, and you know, we thought, hey, this would be a great way for us to show people on the online world that, hey, we're breaking with Topps, we're breaking with Panini. You know, it's hard to really put in numbers what you get out of it, really. I mean, if anything, we've worked our asses off to break even, and that's what a lot of these guys are going to be doing. They're going to be working their asses off to break even. A lot of them are, you know, the people that fly, I mean, you have to either send the cards back to yourself or try to work them into luggage. That's a logistical nightmare. I mean, we put them in our luggage last year, and, you know, we actually had some, you know, breakers packs that we did that got out of order, and then you got to watch the videos again. It's just... It's a nightmare. I mean, some of the guys like Leighton are driving, so that makes it a little easier. It's just, you know, we're coming from California, so it was just a decision for us. I'm having a baby, so it was a decision for us that, you know what, we'll I'll break back in California. Dan can just work on the customer relations, you know, do our party that we're having, which we'll talk about later in the show. We're actually throwing a really cool party Friday night with Leighton and Firehand, which will be a blast. But it was a decision for us that we've taken the breaks on the road for the last 3 years, and there's always been issues, whether it be internet, dealing with car. It's not a mobile thing for us.
Right.
So, I don't know, and we'll see. I honestly hope that the booth goes, and this is honest, I hope that the booth goes so well it makes me regret not being there. That's what I hope. I honestly hope for this industry that, hey, this was great. We brought in new customers for the breaking industry. You know, there's people are aware of this now that weren't already aware of it. You know, it's a great thing. I hope that happens. I guess I'm a glasses half full kind of guy on the subject at this point. I mean, glasses half empty, not half full, half empty right now. So I hope it goes well. I really do. So, but it does seem like the big companies are starting to really kind of embrace case breaks. I mean, we've been doing it since 2010. This is 4 years. And it's funny that you start seeing Beckett. I mean, I even seen today that Topps is doing a, like, Bowman case break by themselves. They're, like, doing, like, a Twitter giveaway for a Bowman case break. So you start seeing – it's, like, weird. It's 4 years later. Well, even longer. Chad started in, like, 08. No, you know, people started 06. It's, like, now it's finally coming to the point where some of these bigger companies are embracing it and doing it now. Why do you think that is?
They're probably always going to be kind of behind the curve in that regard. You know, I mean, they still talk about hobby shops. We're still talking about hobby shops, and which, you know, there's probably 99% less hobby shops than there were 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So how, you know, how smart is it to be, you know, talking about hobby shops or pushing hobby shops on the people? So, you know, they're and a lot of times some of the employees, they probably had some employees there that literally didn't even know what these things were.
Yeah.
So it might just be some employee turnover. And like you said, these things do take some time. I remember when it was, people were like shocked that Cards Infinity guy would open boxes for you, and people were like shocked at that. And that took a little bit of time for people to accept that, yeah, that's actually pretty cool, you know. I mean, people would enjoy doing that. And so you're starting to see that with breaks, that it's becoming more and more acceptable. And, well, and it's also more and more their revenue. Whereas four years ago it was pennies, whereas now it's more than pennies for them, that it's important for them. And if they go with all these exclusive licenses, it's going to be really important for them to kind of – I think they should be paying more attention to it and putting more emphasis on it and helping some of the people, you know, some of the breakers and stuff, helping them, giving them tools to succeed.
Well, here's an interesting question for you. What say there was no group breaks? It never happened. The idea never came to fruition. And what do you think this industry would be right now if there was? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, no, the group break bubble never happened.
I mean, it's really hard to say. It actually could negatively impact sales, because now instead of people buying full boxes, they're buying into these spots.
Right.
So it actually could be a way for people to save money and not actually spend more on cards. I think we'd probably be about in the same spot we're in. It's really hard to say. I don't think it's not like we've seen Topps be like, wow, Topps is so much better company. Look, they're making all this money now. Or same thing with Upper Deck. We've actually seen both those companies kind of crumble down before our very eyes.
Yeah.
In the midst of a group-breaking kind of bubble or boom or whatever you want to call it. So it may not actually be a good thing. It may actually be a sign that things are trending downward, that people can't afford the full boxes, so they're getting pieces of a case or a box. And they have to now pool their money, like Kickstarter, you know, to afford these products.
Well, see, this is my – and you know, this is going to go against – because obviously, you know, I own a group break company. But I would actually – if I said there was no group breaks, I think the products would actually be better right now. You know, because they would be forced. They would, you know, we move so much product that if it's a dump product, they still move it enough where they can either call it a break even. Like, imagine if you just get rid of that whole segment and a guy walks in the shop, opens Hot Rookies, goes on Blowout, and people are like, oh, man, you know, and then nobody buys it. Nobody buys it. So now instead of being stuck with 30% of the product, they're now stuck with 90% of the product. That's going to make them go back to the drawing board a lot faster. than, you know, being able to look at, you know what, we didn't, that wasn't as big of a hit, but we didn't lose money. Oh, well, let's move on. You know what I mean? I almost think if there was no group breaks, the product might be better. I know that just totally is like an oxymoron what I do, but, you know, it's like I actually think that we move so much volume for them that they're able to not really focus on some of their products that are turds, and they just keep pumping it out.
Yeah, it could be. It could also hurt some of the it could definitely hurt shops. It could definitely hurt people who are selling full boxes. You know, Tops is supposedly a made-to-order company, and the orders are actually down.
Right.
Well, you know, the production run is down on all these baseball sets, supposedly. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're kind of in the midst of this little group-breaking bubble, but the impact that it has on – it really hasn't shown that it can really drive – they call it the category. I hate when actually the card company employees call it that. It drives the category. Just, you know, use English and shit. So,
yeah.
Whoever
decided it's a category to begin with. I mean,
God, I hate that. They always refer to it as the category and then this and this. It just shut the hell up. It's sports cards, football cards, baseball cards, basketball cards, or the industry. If you're talking about, I guess, everything, you can call it the industry. But, I mean, the category, oh, God, it just gets under my skin when I hear – guys try to talk intelligently about baseball cards. So, you know, to get back to the point, it doesn't seem like, you know, the group breaking, you know, growth has really driven growth in the sports card industry, really,
right,
in any sport. So that would concern me. That would actually concern me, especially if I was a card company, but I'm seeing an influx in sales from this one segment, you know, the group breaking segment. But that means probably my store sales are going down, my online sales are going down, people who sell boxes online. So while they're gaining this new base of customer and new dealers, they're losing somewhere else. So that's, at the end of the day, that's not good.
You're right.
I wouldn't blame group breaks on that. I wouldn't blame group breaks at all. But it shows you that the whole market, the whole industry really isn't that healthy. You know, really not at all right now. So, you know, we're really we could be at a very pivotal time, and there's all this hype and love for the National and all this stuff. We could literally, this could literally be doomsday in the next 60 to 90 days that's going to play out for the next 4 or 5 years. There's going to be an exclusive in all four sports.
I'm glad you brought that up because it's a perfect segue. We kind of teased it at the beginning of the show, and I swear we'll get into some more positive stuff after this. But, you know, because I don't want to be doom and gloom all the time. I mean, it's very easy to be sometimes, and I think that's what makes people listen. But, you know, because it can't just be happy, happy, happy all the time. But there's a rumor floating around, and it's all but confirmed, but I, you know, allegedly, I don't want to say it and get in trouble. You know how that goes. But there's an NFL exclusive that's being floated around. And if you guys, you know, search the forums, you already know about it. But starting in 2016, it's rumored that Panini will have an exclusive NFL license and the Topps will no longer be making football cards. So I know there was a scare in 2010 about this. This seems like it's a little bit more legitimate of a rumor. So we will have to see, but I wanted to get your thoughts on it, Ryan. Go ahead and go into that. I know you've been doing some, you know, investigative reporting on it. So I wanted you to go ahead and divulge into what you've saw and learned.
Well, if I was a better investigative reporting, I probably would have figured out. I probably would have figured this all out by now. Unfortunately, I'm not. I learned of this early last week. Somebody contacted me that I trust. You know, because it's one thing to get a random email or somebody calls me or somebody that I don't know and says something. I'm literally going to blow it up. I'm probably blow it off. I'm not going to spend any kind of time on it. But when it's somebody that I trust and that I've actually met and that I'm, you know, feel like I know a little bit, I'm going to look into it. And the more I started looking into it, the more people I talked to, I was fully expecting for people to say, you know what, you're full of crap. Like, you don't know what you're talking about. The, you know, what? Where did you get this idea that Panini is going to get an exclusive starting in 2016? You have no idea what you're talking about. But that never happened. It never happened. And I talked to a number of different people. While nobody outright came out and said, you know, this is really going to happen, I kept getting all these weird metaphors and analogies, and people would say, well, I can't tell you because the game, if the game's not over and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, you know, this,
yeah.
At some point, it's like, what are you talking about? And, you know, the funny thing was, is that people who I independently of the first person that told me, I got a second person to tell me that this was going to go down. And it was funny. One of the person was like, I'm telling you because you're probably the only person with the balls, myself, being the only person with the balls that's willing to go on Twitter or wherever and say this might happen.
Right.
And so I decided I literally was calling around, and I was literally going on vacation where I wasn't going to have any cell phone service, conveniently. This all happens right as I'm about to leave on vacation. So I go out to the middle of nowhere in California. I have cell phone service for maybe like an hour a day, maybe. And one night I get on there and somebody else on Twitter said, has anybody heard any rumors of this NFL thing? And I said, yeah. My phone, you know, starts blowing up, of course. And so that's when I decided, well, I'll just throw this stuff out there. Here's the rumor. And more often than not, there's actually a line of people who would love to prove me wrong with anything that I say. They would love, you know, for me to spread some kind of wrong rumor or say something. So I fully expected, well, maybe Topps will respond. Maybe Panini will come out and say this isn't true. Maybe another card company will say this isn't true. But that never happened. It was crickets. Absolute crickets. So I let it go over the weekend, and then yesterday I put in another round of phone calls, and let me tell you what. Every person to a man was annoyed to talk to me. Just they did not want to talk to me at all. They were annoyed at my questions, you know, and at that point I gave up. At that point I gave up. I'm not in the job of butt-kissing employees or anything like that. So at that point, I gave up. My contact at the NFLPA, that went crickets on me. A couple of the people I talked to legitimately seemed like they didn't, that I was telling them first.
Huh.
Like legit, and actually, if this all goes down, and again, it's still allegedly, but I would bet a Panini VIP pass that this is really going to happen. I'm going to be very interested to talk to these people after the fact and be like, did you really not know when I told you? And that's actually going to tell me a lot. Because I could actually see how there might be some employees at Topps, employees at Panini, employees at these other companies who literally didn't know.
Right.
And I was maybe one of the first 8 to 10 to 12 people who actually knew this was going to happen. I think this has been a done deal actually for over 30 days. I point back all the way to when Panini sponsored that fourth-tier senior bowl, the NFLPA Bowl. Panini was the presenting sponsor. I mean, we're talking about the biggest, I thought at the time, the biggest waste of probably upwards of $50,000 to $100,000 you could ever spend in your life, because the at best, there might have been a sixth-round, seventh-round pick at that NFLPA Bowl. All that was, I guarantee you, was to chum up with the decision-makers at the NFLPA and land an exclusive. Another thing to keep in mind, and this is really harsh, but the NFLPA, they make it very, very clear. When they do a deal with EA Sports or they do a deal with some other kind of sponsor, they do not care about the video game industry, about the sports card industry, about the history of Top, about what an exclusive would do to the market. They do not care. They want to get the best deal for the players. It's the same idea if you were an agent representing a player and the Sacramento Kings were offering $5 million and he had a restaurant there and the fans loved him and everybody loved him and he'd been a player there for 7 years. But the Lakers come along and offer $9 million. Guess where that player is going to sign? He's going to take the $9 million. And the same idea when you're negotiating exclusive deals with video games, with apparel. I mean, for years, the NFL had Reebok. Do you think they really care about the quality of their product when they had Reebok for like 10 or 15 years? When Nike is sitting there, when Adidas might even be making a better product at that point? So they do not care about, I mean, there's a whole thing, the EA Sports exclusive tears people up more than it will the sports card thing.
Right.
So the NFL doesn't care. They're going to do what's best for them, what's best for their players, and guess what? The soccer money that Panini makes, it dwarfs anything that Topps has, dwarfs anything that Upper Deck has. Panini could probably buy both Topps and Upper Deck and not even blink an eye. Like, it would barely be a ripple. They could easily get financing to buy both companies and run the whole thing, and then it would really be on again. So, you know, this is really, at the end of the day, this is really, really bad. I've been into hobby shops where their best-selling product is football. This is literally going to close hobby shops. This will break group breakers. Many of them will go broke because of this. And this is going to make it really, really hard. You think about it. Right now, Panini's licensed to make 18 NFL sets a year. I'm assuming Topps has the same deal. So you're talking about 36 sets. That number is going to be now in the 18 to 20 range. So you're lopping off half the sets, and you're lopping off the good sets, which Topps makes.
Chrome and triple threads, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Topps makes a superior product. I mean, anybody who thinks Panini makes better football cards, God bless you, but you're an absolute fool. So this is horrible. This is literally horrible, and that's why when I heard about it last week, I was tripping. Ruined my vacation. This is going to hurt a lot of people, and people don't even think people realize it yet, that it's going to – what's Topps going to do now? They've got to make more money. Well, now they're going to squeeze you more in baseball. Now your baseball products are going to be worse. That's what people don't understand. Is this has trickle-down effects. This isn't just, oh, Topps loses the football. Oh, we're going to make great baseball cards now. No, it's exactly the opposite. They're worse baseball cards. So this is horrible. The NBA is locked up through the 2017 season, if I'm not mistaken. The MLB is locked up through 2017, I believe. This NFL thing is going to be a multi-year deal, so we're probably talking 2018-2020. And the hockey, I'm assuming, is a 3 or 4 year deal starting this year. This is devastating. This is literally devastating. These companies now don't even really have to compete with each other. This is literally one of the worst things that has happened since I closed my shop and I kind of got back into sports cards in 2008. This is literally one of the worst things that could have happened. If Topps would have got the exclusive, it really wouldn't have been that big a deal because they make more desirable cards. Not that they would have made better cards or anything, but at the bottom line, they make better cards. They make more desirable cards. They make the cards people know and can understand for the most part.
Do you think it would be, could there be a possibility of Panini going, hey, can we buy Topps? Well, they wouldn't even be able to put Topps on it at that point. I was going to say, what if they bought those brands and brought them to their brand?
I think it's a possibility, but then could it be like an Upper Deck and Fleer Ultra situation where they kill the brand, where Panini just puts their Panini hollow foil on it, and it's atrocious. Whereas I think Topps is really good. It would be nice if Topps is somehow able to stay independent and hopefully get some new ownership. I mean, that really desperately needs to happen. I mean, theoretically, it could happen. Panini would definitely have the money. I mean, the soccer is no joke. The soccer is a $500 million business probably, which is maybe the entire sports card, which is actually maybe double the entire sports card industry. Just so soccer is bigger.
Right.
Amazing how popular they are.
They've leveraged it well. I mean, it's obviously a smart company. I mean, we joke about their products, but they're obviously the backbone of – and not all their products are bad. I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. We're going to get into a good one here shortly, and maybe we can even speculate. So, and I also – I'm all over the place with my thoughts right now, but I actually did hear the same thing around the same – you text me around the same time that I had heard it from another source. And this source was and I was going to talk to you about that off the air, but hey, well, let's do it on the air. I heard it from, and I was sworn to secrecy that I can't let out my source, but so that rumor must have been let out rumor, whether it's true or false, we'll see, only time will tell, but that whole thing spread quick because, I mean, you heard it, I heard it around the same time. It's crazy, so... You know, maybe we have the same source. Who knows? But
I don't know. I don't. I think at this point, it's really out there now. Like it's really out there now. Somebody would have come forward and said this isn't true, or the negotiations are on. Or there would have been some positive light for Tops, or if Upper Deck was some. And Upper Deck has no shot at getting involved in this. I mean, the other rumor is Panini is going to get half of the college CLT license. That expired this year. And that's going to be I haven't even begun thinking about that or looking at that, but that was another thing that I found out, was that they're going to split half the CLT with Upper Deck, which hurts Upper Deck. And just, you know, maybe, and here's the thing. Here's the thing that could be devastating for a company like Leaf or Press Pass or Sage. We don't ever see any pre-draft NBA sets, and one of the main reasons behind that is Panini signs all of the top 10 draft picks to exclusive contracts. They go to Andrew Wiggins and say, hey, Andrew Wiggins, I know Brian Gray's blowing your phone up, but if you want us to be your guy all season, then you better ignore those phone calls. And, oh, yeah, here's $50,000 to get you started.
Right, and they once that Lillard thing happened, I think last year they signed everybody,
right.
In the first round.
Right, Brian Gray gets lucky one time, and it was funny how you interviewed him, and Brian Gray was like, "Yeah, I offered $400,000 to Michael Kidd-Gilchrist." Imagine what a disaster that would have been. I mean, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is a role player; he's not Damian Lillard. So even Brian Gray got lucky. You know, it wasn't like he went and scouted Damian Lillard. He got lucky with that one hit, and now Panini could potentially do the same thing with football. Right when Johnny Manziel graduates college, they go cut Johnny Manziel a check. Here's an exclusive. Don't talk to Sage. Don't talk to Press Pass. Don't talk to Upper Deck. Don't talk to Leaf. Here you go. We'll see you at the rookie premiere in May. That very well could happen. And all you would need is to knock off. Like this year, you knock off Manziel, you knock off Sammy Watkins, maybe Blake Bortles. What kind of pre-draft set do you have? Does Leaf sell that many sets? Not really. So you really only need to lock up in some years two, three, maybe one guy. You might only have to lock up one guy, and it crushes the whole pre-draft market, which Topps could do with Bowman. I mean, that's what Bowman looks like. It looks like a pre-draft set. They could take off the NFL logo on the front of those cards and they could literally come out with the same set. But maybe Topps doesn't want to even bother with that.
Well, here's the question for you, though. I mean, here's a statement and a question, I guess. You know, and I don't know, you know, exclusives, I think, are bad. But can you blame Panini? I mean, if you want to just eliminate your competition from a money standpoint, why wouldn't you, right?
Right, exactly. Like, this is from a Panini perspective. And when I stopped talking to the Panini guys last week because I knew that they weren't going to tell me anything. But when I was talking to a couple different guys, I was like, man, this would be great for you guys. You know, I was like pumping them up, like this is great, like this is huge news, guys. And it is. This is great for them. Great if you work there. Great if all you love was Panini. But just gauging from forum thread and common sense, Topps makes the best cards.
Yes.
I mean, Topps makes the most recognizable cards. 2012, Topps Chrome, Griffin, Luck, Russell Wilson. Those are the cards you want. You know, and I was talking to somebody. I was like, well, the consensus is that Panini's got contenders and they got national treasures.
Yes.
And after that, it's a roll of the dice.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
What do you think let's say this does happen, this is announced. What do you think that Panini can do to win over everybody? Or is there anything they can do?
There's no incentive. And we've seen what happened with the bat. Aside from Spectra, which we will get to, I actually watched Dan open some cases, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
There's no incentive for them to win anybody over. They're designed, unless they buy Topps and make Topps Chrome exactly how it's made now, or maybe even tweak it so that it's a little better. There's no way that it's going to end up just like the basketball. There's going to be a couple winners, and there's going to be a dozen to 15 losers. And it's going to be hard to predict year to year, aside from the very, very obvious ones, what sets are going to do well. So, all going to depend on a good rookie.
Maybe they could take the Budweiser approach, and I'll relate this. Like, I don't know if you've ever drank, like, a microbrew, and you're like, yeah, I'm not buying Budweiser. And you go in there and you buy, like, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but you go in there and you buy Flag Sail Ale, and you're like, yeah, I'm drinking a microbrew. And then you do some research, you're like, shit, they own my Budweiser. So you're, like, still under the umbrella of Budweiser. So I'm saying, well, maybe they could buy Topps and, like, you know, just put it out as Topps, even though it's owned by Panini, and people will be like, oh, it's still Topps. I have options. You know, here I go. I got Topps, you know. I'm not just buying Panini stuff all the time. Maybe they can make a subsidiary and call it something else and be like, we're here to, you know, battle, but we have a separate segment now. I don't know. I'm just thinking. But, you know, just to have some built-in competition.
It would be great, but Panini's been around since, what, 2009 now? They kind of came in with the basketball, and then they got football a couple of years later. We kind of seen how the companies run and kind of the sets that they make. I don't foresee any kind of, drastic change. This is literally just, this is all bad news. And there's little to no hope of this turning out positive for the people lower end on the food chain. For the people at the top of the food chain, the league, the players, Panini, this might end up being a decent deal. For the distributors, shop owners, breakers, online sellers, and then on down line to the collectors, this is bad. Like, this is bad. And this is right in my wheelhouse. Business, sports card business, the marketplace, this is in my wheelhouse. So the fact that I'm saying this is bad, this is bad, bad news, I hope carries a little bit of weight. Because, it looks like if sellers, dealers, shop owners, you're going to have 2 years to prepare for this. And especially if football, what I would be doing now, like if I was selling online or if I had a shop, I would figure out what percentage is football to me right now on an annual basis, on average. Is it 20%? Is it 50%? Is it more? Is it less? And then you need to figure out, that's going to get cut. That's going to get cut because people aren't going to just wander in and start buying elite and rookies and stars when they were used to five-star and Topps Chrome.
Right.
So, you're going to have to replace that income somewhere. But the good news is the one bright side in this is that it doesn't look like it starts until 2016. You have some more time to ride out some of these Topps products, and you can figure out what you need to do to replace that percentage of your business. That's what I would be doing right now. We're literally doing the math on what if you took Topps football out of your whatever type of business you have in sports cards. If you took Topps football out right now, how would that impact you? And then you got 2 years to figure out how to replace it. So that's the good thing. Thank God this wasn't just
tomorrow.
Topps is done. Yeah, Bowman, that's it. We're done. All pre-orders canceled. I mean, that would have been devastating. Or even 2015, even next year. That would have been a really, you know, less than 12-month turnaround where people are going to have to figure out what they're going to do. So, really, I mean, I hope this is all bullshit, but at the end of the day, at some point, this has been out for almost a week now, at least 5 or 6 days, and everybody at this point who's plugged in knows about it. Yeah. And there would have been at least one person saying, oh, this is not true. This is not true. Especially at top. And even the NFLPA. They know because they've heard from me. So I've been blowing up people there that I might barely know, and agents and shit. There's an agency here in Stockton. You damn well bet I called them and figured out what they knew, too. So, I mean, I was blowing up people's phones just to see what was going on. And all signs point to something's not good. This isn't good.
And I keep trying to find the silver lining. Like, maybe if the sales on the first product by itself don't do well, they'll go back to the drawing board. I'm just trying to, you know, hopefully that they'll figure it out. Because, I mean, if the only way to stop that is if we stop buying their products. So as long as people keep buying their products, it's not going to change. So, but as long as people keep buying their products, people must like their products. So, I mean, if they're not selling, you know, Prestige or Hot Rookies or whatever comes out in 2016, if that doesn't sell, then what are they going to do? So, I don't know.
No more soccer stickers. I mean, that's the greatest thing. And this is actually a perfect example is that when you're in business, you want to diversify your income. Because Panini has this incredible cash cow that comes in every 4 years, and even more than that, because they're selling soccer stickers a year, you know, every year. Different leagues, they have Manchester United set, you know, they have all kinds of stickers that they come out. But every 4 years, it's like GTA, you know, it's like Grand Theft Auto coming out for Take-Two Interactive. It's a huge windfall. It's $1 billion. Just boom, they snap their fingers, and they come out with these stickers, and it's $1 billion. And they don't have to pay for anybody's autograph, and it's a way less complicated business. Aside from the distribution, because you're having to get global. I mean, it's literally global distribution on these soccer stickers. That's really the logistics part, the only thing that's complicated. The printing the stickers, that's as complicated as 1990 tops. You know, there's 600 stickers, and there's some special ones that go out to here and there, but it's way less complicated than a set of cards. So Panini, they've been able to, they also have a comic. They're one of the big Marvel comic distributors in Europe and Italy and all that, you know, overseas. I mean, that's a huge part of their business, too. They're literally like a comic book giant from the distributor level. That's got to be, I'm assuming that's profitable, too. So they have literally several arms of their business that's profitable. They could run this American business at break even at a loss for years. And they might be doing that. They might be doing that. And, you know, the everything that I've been told, they overpaid for this NFL thing the same way they overpaid for the NBA. I mean, that's the only reason why they got the exclusive. It's because they blew away the NFLPA with an offer that they couldn't refuse and that Topps couldn't match or maybe come close with. So, you know, Panini's, they have more resources than everybody else. Because of the soccer stickers, because of the potentially profitable comic book distribution business, those are things that Topps and Upper Deck don't have.
So diversifying your income is a perfect way to say it. I mean, you go on the PaniniGroup.com. I mean, you see this all crazy Panini online sticker album. I mean, it's a nice looking site, obviously, and you know. Right before the World Cup, you see that there's like people in other countries. That's what people don't realize is that, you know, if you're just a football collector or a basketball collector that buys Panini stuff that way, these guys like get together in groves and hundreds to trade stickers to fill up their World Cup album. It's like almost like comparable to Christmas. It's an event. It's like the NFL draft there. It's that big. So I mean, and who makes it? Panini. So. You know,
yeah, and they're
you're
exclusive,
right.
And they're exclusive. So it's a huge thing for them that can't be understated enough. And I think right. I think if this wasn't a World Cup year and we were talking about how big soccer was, people would be like, eh, what are you talking about? Like, no, this is literally 75% of their collectibles business is the soccer. And they had, and you know, and this was when they had hockey. They had all four U.S. sports. And the soccer is 75% of the business. So that should just open people's eyes wide open. That they literally got all this money that, yeah, if they want to throw the, if they want to throw the NFL $10, $20 million a year, that's nothing. That is nothing. Whereas $10, $20 million a year to Tops and Upper Deck, that's a lot of money. That is literally a lot of money. And that's not good for anybody because Panini doesn't make the best cards. It'd be one thing if Panini made the best cards. They don't. And, you know, that's a problem. And they have it for their whole history here since 2009 when they came over here. Are they nice guys? Are some of them nice guys? Yeah.
Well, I we can agree that, I mean, some of their designs are nice. It's just the secondary. I guess we could say they don't make the best cards on the secondary market.
Right.
Is that what we're at? So for some reason, for whatever they've done compared to what Topps has done, they both have downfalls, but people pay more for the Topps cards. I don't know why.
You can look at a set like Prestige, and it's so stupid. And I think my brother hit on this on one of his podcasts. Why do they have these dumb insert sets that are signed on cards for all the rookies? Like Passport, A Road to the NFL. It's so freaking stupid. Just make a really, really nice Prestige autographed rookie and then a red version. Fine. I mean, it's you can almost copy Topps. Don't verbatim, but you can. They're nice.
Right.
The cards that are nice in Prestige are like insert cards. Like, why do that? It's just so stupid. Make a really nice on-card Johnny Manziel autograph. Rookie.
It's simple. I mean, I guess you're right. That's a good point. Topps has simplified it by saying there's the base auto, there's the refractor auto, there's the blue auto, there's the orange auto, there's the red auto, there's the superfractor. And that's it. And then it pretty much, I mean, it changes a little bit throughout their cards, but Inception, base version, gold version, yellow version, pink version. It's rather than having a million different insert sets that are signed, it's, you know, have one insert set and then have a number to 500, then have a number to 400. I mean, that seems like the recipe of success.
And that's what people at least have become accustomed to. And personally, when I'm buying, like, Bowman cards, they have Bowman baseball cards, I can understand it. I can process it. I can process that there's a paper parallel to 500 and a paper parallel to 250, and then there's a gold chrome to 50. You know, it takes you a little while to kind of work up and learn this, but it's way less complicated than Panini Prestige, and you're looking at it, and you're like, okay, where are the good Johnny Manziel cards? Oh, there's an autograph in this insert set. It's just so backwards. So, you know, and then they've had this NFL license for 3 or 4 years, and it's the same thing. They come out with a great set of National Treasures. They come out with a great set of contenders. And Prism may or may not be good, and, you know. Playbook's decent. Playbook's decent, I think. I think some people like Playbook. But other than that, it's really hard to nail them down on a good set. And remember the rookies. You know, the whole thing is rookies.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's frustrating.
You know, they had some glimmer of doing the same thing Topps did when they released Prism, like Prism Basketball. Remember how hot that was? You know, when they did the golds. They released the golds. The golds were like, wow, they turned a page. You know, they should emulate that in all their sets. And you know, and I want to move on to Spectra because – they did kind of do that in Spectra. They did have parallels. They had Spectra Basketball was, you know, I think a lot of us didn't really seen it on our pre-order list, and we're like, you know, and it came out, and because it was kind of under-ordered, they made a little bit less of it, which made just an amazing product. I mean, they really killed it with that product. I mean, you're talking about just amazing on-card Larry Bird, on-card Kobe Bryant. On-card, you know, Kevin Durant's in there, but he's a redemption. On-card, David Robinson. On-card, Karl Malone. You know, with parallels with, you know, gold patches, six, three, four, five color patches that people are loving. And it's like, I hope they realize that maybe they can't make that less product for every release, but that was a winner, and that was the best so far basketball release this year by far. I mean, they absolutely killed it, and people are still talking about it. And Preferred's coming out tomorrow, and we'll have to see how they both do against each other. They're kind of two different products in a sense. But Spectra's a really good product, and they're capable of making products like this, and I hope that success continues. I mean, saw Dan break the case. I mean, what were your initial thoughts on it?
I mean, I was floored. I think it was the first box. I turned on the video, the Ustream, and I'm watching it. And I'm kind of, I'm doing other stuff at the same time, but he kept hitting. There was one box. Is it one pack per box, or is it two or three?
It's two. It's supposed to only be one, but they added an extra pack in there.
That's right. He opened, and there's like a bunch of cards in one pack. He opened the pack, and he puts all the cards out, and he starts kind of going through the cards. I'm kind of listening, and it was like gold. And then it hit like a gold to 10 autograph, and then a Tracy McGrady autograph parallel, and then another gold, and then a Giannis Antetokounmpo sick patch autograph rookie, and then another gold. And then, I mean, it was insane. I think the Bucks spot out of there, I mean, I don't know how much it cost, but I guarantee the guy who got the Bucks out of that case probably double, triple his money easy, like no problem. It was, and the funny thing is this came out after the season. This is like an afterthought for them almost. And it literally, then the cards had a really nice look to them. Even there was like, like an Andre Kirilenko patch autograph on card. You don't really see those cards very much anymore. And they were really nice. And something like that actually sells for, you think, oh, Andre Kirilenko, patch autograph, that's nothing. In reality, I bet that thing sells for 30, 40, 50 bucks.
Easy, yeah.
Because that Kirilenko collector is going to look at that and be like, oh, my God, I have to have that car.
Yep.
It's not like a single-color jersey numbered to 250 that everybody has. This is a really nice card. So, I mean, there was Suns rookie from last year, the center, Lynn, last name Lynn. I mean, it was a one-of-one, and it was the Adidas logo.
Yep.
It was all one case. It wasn't like it was spread out. I mean, it was one case that seemed like it had to have been hot or just really, really good. So, I mean, kudos to them for making a set like that. I wish all their products were like that, but, hey, for the people that splurged and pre-ordered that stuff or got into a spot, you probably did pretty good. There was a lot of stuff. It was veteran stuff. It was rookie stuff. It was veteran on-card autograph. It was veteran patch autograph. That's the type of stuff I haven't seen since Upper Deck back in the day. So,
yeah, absolutely.
It was good to see. I'm glad that I just randomly turned that on and started watching it. I was like, good Lord, I was like, how much is a box? Like, damn, why didn't I get into this? Because it seemed like, there was a Kevin Durant. There was a Kevin Durant gold, I believe. Redemption.
Yep, same case.
It's got to
be
a couple hundred bucks. I mean, it just seemed like every other card was huge. So I'm sure, that stuff's going to dry up, lightning fast. There's going to be none of that stuff for less than the $300 a box, I would imagine, if all this stuff looks like that. So
yeah, it's already jumped up on the wholesale. Actually, there's nobody even selling it on the wholesale network, so the few cases I could scrounge up already had went up. So, yeah, I mean, you're not going to probably see much of that at the National unless guys are holding out thinking they're going to make more money on it. So, I mean, right now they're already making money on it, so there's nobody has it. So, go ahead.
I don't know. It could be end-of-the-year basketball. They're kind of loading. I mean, I'm surprised they come out with so many sets after the season. I mean, it's kind of –
right.
Although there's a lot of attention on basketball right now, obviously with LeBron and the draft and summer league and all that stuff. So maybe it's not the worst thing in the world, but maybe I don't know. I'm just thinking from a dealer's perspective, what is your strategy on buying stuff? Because it's like – it's hit or miss. Who would have guessed that Spectra would have been such a really, really nice product at that price, $200 price point? You're thinking, man, You know, I would have looked at that and been like, oh, that's going to be a +50 as a national or after the national. That'd be $150 a lot. Instead, it might be $350. So who could have been able to predict it?
You can't. You can't.
It's inconsistent.
That's why as a dealer, a wholesaler, group breaker, you just got to be happy that you got rid of it. You know, maybe you could have made more money. You know, you just got to be happy your customers are happy. And that's it. You know, you can't, you know, a lot of people, oh, I wish I would have ordered 50 cases. Well, no, you don't, because it only happens, you know, 5% of the time. So for the other 95% you ordered 50 cases on, you're going to regret it. So, you know, it's a very tricky game. And I wanted to actually, you know what the interesting thing about basketball is? Maybe it's just me because I've been paying attention to it more this year since, I don't know why, I've just been watching more. I've had more time to watch it. It seems like basketball is almost becoming like football, where it's year-round now. Maybe it's just this year with LeBron in the news, and they drug that out, and, you know, where is he going? Where's Wade? Where's Carmelo going? But it seems like basketball has moved into the I hate to say this because I'm a baseball guy, but it almost seems like basketball is starting to move into the second spot when you think of the top three sports in America. It seems like it's football, basketball, then baseball.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think there was a period there after Michael Jordan retired that there was a little bit of a gap there before maybe like Shaq and Kobe kind of got really good. And now you have two stars, Kevin Durant and LeBron James, who are just in their absolute prime right now. And LeBron James is, and obviously Kobe Bryant is still one of the most popular athletes in the world.
Right.
So you have really Kobe Bryant and LeBron James. Those are two of the most recognizable athletes outside of soccer players, to be honest.
Right.
You know, even some of they're more popular globally than every football player.
Yep.
And every baseball player. So, you know, that's the one thing the NBA is good at is the star power, and they have two stars right now. Well, and definitely LeBron, who's in his absolute prime, and who generates a lot of attention. And he just made a huge move going back to Cleveland. So that's going to be even more buzz next year. How's he going to do? And he goes back to Miami and all that stuff. So it's really and you know what killed it? Is I actually stopped playing fantasy football. I don't know. Have you ever seen the PBS special, The League of Denial, about the concussion?
No, I have not.
You got to watch that. I literally – they released that in October – of last year. I've probably seen three or four football games since then, and I don't even think I watched the Super Bowl.
Huh.
So, I stopped playing fantasy this year. All my buddies are calling me trying to get me to play fantasy, and I quit. And I used to be all up into fantasy football.
Yeah.
All these guys are going to end up with brain damage or dead if they don't change the game. At the youth level as well. So this is, you know,
well, you know what? It's funny you say that because I was just gonna allude. You know, I watched the news. You know, now I think it's you get over 30, you start watching the news in the morning, but they mentioned that they either passed it or they're trying to pass it where youth leagues their practices are going to be non-contact now.
They should be. I wouldn't even let my kid play football.
Yeah,
I mean, I would if I had a kid. No way he's playing football. No way, no way. And imagine moms. Imagine all the moms out there that are pulling their kids. My sister has three kids. None of them are ever going to play football. I guarantee you. So I didn't play. I don't think my mom would have let me play football. And that was before all this concussion stuff.
Well, it's
so
an interesting. It's an interesting thing because if you know, you may already get brain damage before you make it to the NFL, but let's just say you don't have the brain damage yet. You're 20 years old and you're destined for the NFL and somebody, Father Time comes to you and says, hey, so if you play the NFL, you're going to die at 50. But for right now, you're going to live the life that anybody would dream of by making $10 million a year, having an amazing house. What are you going to choose at 20 years old to play a 20-year career, have all this money, be able to travel on the off season, blah, blah, blah? Are you going to trade it to die at 50?
I guarantee you, like, 90% of the people would take it.
Oh, for sure. And the thing is not every player ends up crippled, not every player ends up with brain damage, not every player
right.
has a concussion. So there's actually a little bit of the science and the medicine that has to kind of evolve. But for me, it's not like it's not every player is going to end up crippled or brain damaged, but it does seem like at least a fair percentage whereas that doesn't happen in any other sport. You might have bum knees, you might have bum ankles, you might have trouble walking. But these head injuries to me are a totally different thing. It's one thing to subject your body to the physical pounding of sport, professional sports. It's another thing to mess up your head and
right.
to go crazy. I mean, Junior Seau killed himself.
Right.
When we were little kids and we watched Junior Seau play football and we heard him interviewed and you just see what kind of guy he is, would we ever think that he would have one day shot himself in the chest?
No way.
So it definitely had something to do with it had to have had something to do with the head trauma that he took. It had to have. I'm convinced of it. There's no way Junior Seau shoots himself in the chest. It doesn't make sense. It does, and he's not the only guy that this has happened to. There's lower profile players that have killed themselves or fallen off the wagon or drugs or homeless or whatever it is that literally have there's no reason for that to happen outside of something going wrong with your brain.
Here's where the money's going to come into play, because I know there's some outside companies that have made some, the helmet may not look like the NFL helmet, but they've made this helmet that has impact and stuff like that. It's impact resistant. You're less likely to get a concussion. Well, Riddell, or whoever makes the NFL helmet, I think it's still Riddell, I don't know for sure, they have money invested with the NFL. Do you think they're going to let this other company come in? No, because it's about the money. So until...
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the money's involved. They can make these helmets better, but there's just too much money involved. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a tricky situation. I mean, you also don't want to – football fans don't want to watch flag football either. So there's a very fine line. I mean, another sport that we don't even know, I mean – let's see what happens to Chuck Liddell in 10 years. I mean, you talk
right.
about MMA. Yeah, MMA doesn't have any rules. I mean, these guys are taking steroids. And they're beating each other in the head. I mean, their spokesman is a meathead. I mean, he's a very smart meathead in Dana White. But, you know, that's another sport that you won't even know what the long-term effects are about getting just punched in the head. I mean, look at Muhammad Ali in boxing, and that was with gloves. So,
right.
And
you look at what – look at those two sports. I mean, the UFC has obviously grown a lot, but we're not talking baseball, basketball, or football at all. And look at boxing. Boxing has actually gone way down. And you can see the exact same thing happen with football, that it becomes more of a niche sport. The people that are playing it, and this is going to sound not very good, but the people that are playing football in 10 to 20 years, their parents probably didn't care about them that much, to be honest. Or they're from a state like Texas where it's, like, ingrained in the culture that you grow
right.
up and play football. There's not going to be a lot of kids in California playing football. There's going to be more
right.
kids in California playing soccer
right.
than football in 10 or 20 years.
Well,
so,
hopefully that's true. We can win a World Cup for once.
That would be great. That would be great if that ever happens. That would be great.
Well, and that's I listen to a lot of talk radio, Sirius XM with Mad Dog and stuff like that, and they that's what they said. I mean, at some point, baseball's losing out, and then if football with the head injuries is losing out, kids are going to start migrating more towards soccer.
Right.
But also soccer, you take headers. I mean, that's another thing. You may see it's not as popularized in the U.S. I would like to see, what Pele's head condition is. They take – I mean, granted, they don't take that many headers a game, but I've taken headers in soccer when I was a kid, and those things it hurts. So, I mean, there's something like that could happen too. So I think there's a risk with any sport, but it just seems like football, there's more and more depression involved, and there's more and more guys that become suicidal and stuff like that.
Well, and these guys are getting naturally. You look at Patrick Willis and you look at Dick Butkus. Patrick Willis would kick Dick Butkus' ass. Patrick Willis would kick Mike Singletary's ass.
Yeah.
I mean, without question. These guys are ripped. They're huge. They can run a 4.440. They're 260 pounds. They're rock solid, and they're coming at you full speed with a helmet on. It's just, you know, it's just, it's not going to end well. It's one thing when these guys were a little less fast, a little less strong, a little less beefy. Now it's these guys are massive guys, and
well, fast forward to now, full. And Jadeveon Clowney would probably kick Patrick Willis's ass. So, I mean,
that's true. I mean, how big are they going to get? I mean, it's really scary how huge these guys are. That's an impact, too. It's just the size of the athlete and the speed has grown tremendously, especially in the last, like, 15 years or so. And not even really with steroids. It's just better training, better diet, better understanding of the body. I mean, these guys are no joke.
It does make you wonder about Seau, though. Did he take steroids, and did that have any effect on his psyche as well? Like a combination of drugs and head injuries is like a look at I don't know, people that watch wrestling out there. Look at Chris Benoit. I mean, holy crap, that guy went on killed his wife, his son, and then killed himself. I mean, what normal thinking person does that? And those guys are just roided painkillers, head injuries, you know. So you wonder if these drugs, you know, what the effect is on it as well in the long term that they don't really mention. They're not mentioning the drugs. They're mentioning the head injuries. They're not mentioning the drugs at all.
Right. Well, yeah, they don't even want to touch that yet. You know, the fact that all these guys are doped up on painkillers and taking shots and, you know, just to be able to play or in practice. So, you know, they don't even want to go there yet because I'm sure they'll get sued over the Toradol and all the shots that they're taking before the game, too. I mean, that's the next wave of lawsuits, probably.
Right, right. And the NFL does not want to have steroid testing, I guarantee you. And that will never come into play.
Well, yeah, and you only get suspended 4 games. I think if you do get busted, you only get suspended for 4 games. It's not even really like, I mean, that's a quarter of the season,
They only test for like the hardcore stuff, like a clear cream kind of stuff. I think it's very lenient drug testing. I don't think it's like MLB.
And even like in the NBA, the veterans, once you're a veteran, they tell you when you're going to get tested.
Yeah.
It's like a training camp that they literally tell you when you're going to get tested.
Right.
You have to be a fool to get busted for weed or, you know, any of these things in the NBA. Because when you're a veteran, they tell you, and there's not much advantage probably to take steroids in the NBA because
you don't want to be a muscle-bound freak. You won't move very fast.
Yeah, like Chris Paul taking steroids. It might help him, but he might at some point get too big.
Right.
That wouldn't be good.
Maybe a center, maybe like a Dwight Howard, but not a Chris Paul.
You know, it could definitely help your stamina and kind of getting you through the season. I could see that. But, I don't know. But the NBA players, I bet most NBA players stay away from it. I doubt it's even, like, a real issue.
Right. Well, the last topic I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of just a beware kind of thing. I mean, and I'm not – once again, I want to use the word allegedly because I'm not bashing a company here, but there's been a really solid amount of cases of people getting Topps redemptions, getting a bubble mailer, and this seems to be happening to people that have a lot of redemptions at one time, like 9, 10, 11 redemptions at one time. Topps is sending them, and there's been 2 or 3 of the cards missing. And they seem to be the high-value cards. A lot of Chris Bryant's being missing. I know a person that missed a Chris Bryant refractor and also a lucky redemption. I know another person that was missing a orange refractor auto of Chris Bryant that he paid $2,500 for. So just kind of if you have a lot of redemptions, and I know it's a pain in the ass, but I would film your mail day on your phone, whatever you need to do. Make sure you film it just to back yourself up. I think what's happening, and this happens in a lot of businesses, there's somebody, I think, just because there's so many cases, and once again, allegedly, there might be somebody at the fulfillment center that has some sticky fingers, and hopefully that they can figure out who it is and get rid of them. but it's just such a coincidence that it's happening with high-dollar cards. And they're being shown on the tracking list as being in that bubble mailer. So the person's getting the list. They're getting their 9 cards. It's saying they're due 10 cards, and they're checked off, just like you would receive a packing slip from UPS. It's checked off on there as that person putting there. So, like I said, it's not – I don't think it's TOPS's fault. It's, I mean, I guess their employees are – that's their fault. But, you know, there's people that steal, and I think just like I said, just a buyer beware that if you're getting some redemptions from TOPS, especially if you got a lot of them, just record your mail day. Because TOPS is maybe, you know, they're only getting a couple phone calls. They're like, are these people really missing their cards, or they're just trying to get another $700 card for free? So, because I know there's a lot of people that – have you seen the used redemptions that are on eBay that people sell? Ryan?
No.
Well, what's happening is somebody will scratch off a Bryce Harper, redeem it, get the card, and then they will sell the redemption on eBay. And in the title it says used redemption. So there's this whole thing going around that people are buying these, and they're going to TOPS to be like, hey, the code doesn't work. And they're like, well, show me your redemption. You know what I'm saying? So especially if it's like a non-numbered card or something, I think TOPS is sending some of these people these cards for free. So so you buy it off eBay for $5. So I think they're aware of that, and so they might be thinking some of these people are trying to come up on them, because as far as they know, the packing sheet says that the card was in there. You know what I mean? So what do you do? It's tough. I mean, I guess you can't watch every single employee, but it sounds like there's an employee there that knows values of cards. So they really need to find out and maybe keep an eye on these people and find out who it is and replace them with somebody else. So that sucks, and I hope they resolve this. And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to resolve this, because a lot of these people are obviously – they can see that they got – hundreds of redemptions in their system. So if it was somebody trying to come up, they're not going to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars on TOPS products to get one over on them. So hopefully they resolve it. You know what I mean? If it was like an isolated incident and one guy did it, not when you have 100 redemptions in the system. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think you made a good point to film your mail day. That may not be a bad idea, especially if you're expecting something good. Just to, you know, give yourself some kind of recourse in case it's not there. Hopefully, when I first heard about it, I thought, well, maybe it was like 500 packages, and they had a new person on the job, and the new person messed up, and, you know, who knows how they're going to sort out, you know, getting people these cards. What a mess. And especially like Chris Bryant. It's one thing if it's, you know, it's one thing if it's, you know, Ryan Swope. It's another thing if it's Chris Bryant and Orange Refractors and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, and then that's the thing. Do they pull one? Do they give them another one? And then there's going to be one short, you know?
Right.
I mean, if they knew what card was missing, well, then that would make two of them as well. If they numbered, like, say, if it was an orange refractor and they said you're sending 17 to 25, I don't think they do that. Then that might be a lot. Then you could find it, but that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but you could. I mean, you know, you could go to the National and maybe find your card on the show floor. You know, if your redemption, like you said, you're getting 17 and 25, and then you go to and you never got it, and then you go to the National, and then it's at somebody's table, you know. Hey,
that would be hilarious. That would be hilarious if this TOPS employee was going to the National anyway, and he just brought all these cards and started selling them on the National floor. Wouldn't be hilarious. It would suck, but you might see an arrest there. Maybe people would know now, and they would this guy would get arrested for that.
Something's not right.
Wasn't there an arrest like last? There was a couple arrests last year, wasn't there? Somebody stole something from some booth and you got pretty much taken out in handcuffs?
I think so. And then there was a dealer who sold
a guy a fake pair of Jordan autographed shoes, I think, that had to shut down his table on Sunday or something. It was kind of awkward. Because the guy who bought the shoes literally just stood there, and you've been to the Nationals, so you could understand how awkward this would be. He was standing there right in front of the dealers yelling, "You sold me fake shit, blah, blah, blah," and just kept going on at the top of his lungs, standing, and it was in the back. It was way in the back, and I was walking by and kind of saw all this take place, and I was like, wow, this is really awkward. Everybody was walking by, like, looking at the guy, "You sold me fake shit, da-da-da-da-da-da," and I was like, whoa, this is fun. And the guy, some of the national people came over, some security guards came over. They, I guess, worked it out, figured out the shoes were fake. I think the guy had went and got them authenticated at JSA or PSA DNA or one of those, found out they were fake. Boom, shut the table down. Guy had the guy who had the table who sold the Jordan shoes had to leave. So that was it.
Well, that's smart on their behalf. I mean, I wonder if the guy, you know, just would offered him a refund back or something. You're like, oh, you know, because maybe this guy was just selling all kinds of fakes, you know. But I'm just thinking, you know, maybe if you're a dealer and you bought it from somebody else, you didn't know, you know, and then you sold it. You bought it to sell it. How do you know, you know?
Yeah. And I actually worked out a deal. I bought an Ernie L. It was 8x10. It had no authentication. The guy had got it signed in person. I said, "I'm going to go take it over to JSA. If it comes back not authentic, you give me my money back." And he was like, "Yeah, no problem." So I went and took it over. It got passed, and no problem. So, you know, some dealers will even work that out with you where it's like, "Hey, I got this in person, or I bought this a long time ago. If you want to go get it authenticated by PSA DNA or whoever, JSA, and if it's not authentic, come back. I'll give you your money back." So,
right.
You know,
and everybody should do that. I mean, if the guy knew he was selling fakes, that'd be pretty stupid to set up at the National. You know what I mean? It's like, that's like, you know, robbing a bank that's next to a police, you know, center. So, you know, it's like next door or something. Pretty stupid. You know, Craig, but criminals aren't smart. That's, if they were smart, they wouldn't have to cheat the system, I guess, but crazy. But I think that pretty much covers the show. I hope we did a good job of previewing the National. I mean, I think we gave you guys some insight. And, you know, it's the first time we kind of went off on a tangent on just sports. There might be some people going, "Hey, why did you stop talking about cards?" But there's only so much you can talk about cards sometimes. It, you know, just isn't entertaining
right
anymore. Right. I mean, I'm sure the next show is probably going to be action-packed because of all this stuff that happened at the National. We'll be able to just spew out for like 2 hours. I mean, it's going to be crazy. So, and you guys are, I'm going to probably pretty much not going to be talking because I'm not going to be there. So you guys are going to be telling me all the stuff that happened at the National. So that should be a really good show.
Should be fun.
So, but that's pretty much it. Anything else you wanted to add?
I think I talk way too much.
I talk 100 times more than you. You know. So.
I'm done. I'm depressed about the whole. I'm just really saddened by the whole NFL thing. It could be a sign of even worse things to come. But you know, hopefully with the National and maybe some. I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But hopefully with the National, it'll brighten people's spirits and get things going. Good rookie classes in NBA, NFL. So that's, I guess, something to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you'll be hanging out at our party as well. And that's nsccparty.com for you guys. It's Firehand and Leighton Sports Cards and Mojo Break. I can't leak it out yet, but we have an amazing autograph signer that's coming, somebody that is really worthwhile. So he will be there, and free drinks, you know, free food, you know, giveaways from Panini, stuff like that. So it'll be a pretty epic bash at the House of Blues. So go to nsccparty.com to RSVP. If you're going to be at the National, you won't see me, but you'll see Dan and Mike and Shane and Rich and his crew and Chad and his crew and Ryan will be there. So,
yep.
So sounds good. So we'll be out for this show, and everybody have fun at the National. We'll try to take advantage of all the promos. This is the perfect time. Everybody's sites having sales. COMC, all Beckett, all those guys are having national sales. So take advantage if you've been saving up. And other than that, we'll see you guys either during the National or probably the week after the National. So we'll let you guys know. But take care and have a good one. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by SportsCardRadio.com, MojoBreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern.
Maybe every Tuesday.
Or download us on iTunes.